Good morning. So, what can wash away our sins? Is our goodness? No? Nothing but the blood, Carlene says. You agree with her? Amen. Amen. Welcome to Wylie United Methodist Church this morning. I want to welcome our live stream audience as well. Glad that you are with us this morning. We got a full house. See all these Bibles up here? Here in just a minute, Carlene is going to present those, and Miss Teresa to our fourth and fifth graders. I hope there's somebody left out there with all these Bibles when she does that. But before we do that, I want to ask the Mudrals, come on up. Did I pronounce that right? Modral? Well, you probably had it mispronounced before, I bet.
Once or twice.
All right. Y'all can come right here. All right, so Stephen and Sheila and Randy Modral.
Yes.
Okay. They Stephen and Sheila come to join the church as well as Randy. But before Randy joins the church, she comes this morning to publicly profess her faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. Excited about that. Excited about that. At the end of the service, we will be baptizing Randy, but she, I don't know why she didn't want to sit in with wet hair through the whole service. I'm not sure about that. So I'm going to come around here. Y'all stay right there. I'm going to come around here, and I'm going to start with you, Randy. You know, what's interesting is you can't be a member of this body of Christ unless you're a member of the body of Christ. Yes? And so you come this morning to profess your faith. You've already done that, but you come to publicly, vocally to this group to profess your faith. Do you recognize and repent of your sin?
Yes.
Do you wish to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Amen. At the end of the service, we're going to baptize you, and I will pray for you then. We will ask the Holy Spirit to fill you as well. So now that you have publicly professed faith in Christ, you guys have already done that, and you've already been baptized. So I ask the three of you now, as you come to be members of this church, will you be loyal to this church with your prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness? Amen. We welcome you. Let's give them a hand. Normally, we would have everybody come hug your neck, but we're not going to do that. So everybody just everybody wave and say welcome. All right, if you guys want to... Okay, say hi to them right there. Look right up there. y'all can be seated. Thank you, guys. God bless you. Miss Carlene has some Bibles to present.
Good morning. How's everyone this morning? Are y'all awake? Are you awake? All right. Well, it's always a great day. Every year at this time, we present Bibles to our upcoming fourth graders. And we have some fourth graders, and then we have a fifth grader that's going to also receive a Bible. And so it's exciting when we present that Bible, because that Bible is God's Word. And it tells us, "Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto our path." And so these kids have grown up, and they've hit fourth grade. And their walk with the Lord needs to grow deeper. And we want to present them with a Bible that they can help them grow in God's truth and in His love. So... And it's important not just for our kids, but it's important for us to know God's Word. So who has a Bible today? Do y'all have a Bible? Raise it up. Who brought a Bible? You can hold your phone up if you got your phone. So we need to have God's Word with us so that it will be a light for our path each day. So today we're going to present our Bibles to our fourth graders and a fifth grader. So what we're going to do is we're going to have all of the fourth graders and their parents go ahead and make their way up to the front, and then I want y'all to stand across the front, and then we will introduce you as we go down the line. So fourth graders, come on up. Come on, Cindy, Aiden, come on. Everybody come on and make up. We're doing a little bit different this year, but come across here. So we have a big group of fourth graders, and we are excited about this. So, somebody not happy? All right, hey guys. Okay. Is everybody up here? Okay. Everybody? Okay, you got there? Y'all good? Everybody good? Okay. You may have to squeeze in or spread out a little bit. Okay. Okay, so we're going to start down at this end down here, Miss Teresa. And the Bibles are right here, so I'm going to let her grab a stack of Bibles, okay? So down on the end, we have, let me find my list, okay? We have Grace McNally, and her mom and dad are David and Julie. So stand out there so we can see you, Grace. Okay? Right there. Okay. And then next here we have Connor Logue, and his parents are Chris and Heather. Okay? And then we have Sage Nelson, and her parents are Tom and Jane. And then we have Amick Gatz, and his parents are Brandon and Millie. Okay? And then we have Benjamin Smith, and his grandmother is Beverly. Okay? And then we have Aria, and her dad is Nick Gooch, and then along with her, she brought a friend, and that is Sloan Garvey, and her mother is Melinda Morrison. Okay. And then we have Fletcher Smith, and his parents are Clay and Amber. Okay. And then we have Callie Wood, and her parents are Corey and Naomi. Okay. And then we have Aiden Edick. And he is our fifth grader. They came in the middle of last year. So, and his parents are Cindy and Leroy. And then we have Mia Ruster, and her parents are Cole and Rena. Okay. And then we have Michaela Makuta, and her parents are Michael and Victoria. And then we have Josie Smith, and her parents are Jeff and Julie. Okay. Okay. Is there anybody else here? Is there any more fourth graders out there? No? All right. Look at this group of fourth graders. And this is not all of them. So, you know, as we presented these Bibles, it's a Bible that they can grow with and learn to know God's Word. And so we ask that they just begin to read it. And as families and as a church, we ask that you pray for these families as these kids are growing up. Because our world is a very hard world where we live in right now. And we need to know God's truth every day. And these kids need to know it as they go into schools or if they're at home learning, whatever, they need to know God's truth. And so I'm going to pray for all the kids and families. So let's bow our heads, okay? Oh, Lord, we just thank you for this day, and we thank you for all these kids that are here that have received a new Bible and for their families. Lord, I pray that their hearts and minds will be open to you to know your truth, and your word will be a light for them as they live each day, whatever they're doing, Lord, that they will be reminded of your promises and your truth so that they can walk in your love and your grace and be a light for this world. And we thank you that your word is alive and is amazing and is within us, Lord. I thank you that you are with us and watching over us. Thank you as we move forward through, as these kids move forward through their lives, as they grow up and continue to seek after you, Lord Jesus. We just thank you and we praise you for each one of them. And we just give this all to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, y'all go back and sit down. Everybody give a round of applause. All right. Okay. All right, now we're going to go ahead and go right directly to children's message. So if all the kids would come on up, Miss Teresa, she's coming right here. If y'all would join us up here for children's message. All right.
Lesson today, which is why I'm not sitting in it right away. Okay. All right. Oh, today, I am just tired. My legs hurt. I've been on them so much. I would really like to rest. There's a chair right here, but I'm not sure that chair can hold me. I mean, what if it makes me fall? I mean, it's rough. I mean, I guess I could look at it. I can look at it. I see it has four legs. I can see it's plastic. It looks like it should hold me. Well, geez, I'm still scared about it, and I'm not so sure, but I am. Oh, I'm tired. I know. How about you? Have you guys sat in the church's chairs? Is anyone, are they good enough to sit in? So you say that. So, yes, you guys have sat in them successfully. So I could listen to you, but I'm still doubtful. I'm still wondering if that chair, just do it. Because I'm tired and I need rest and my legs hurt. So I just need to sit in it. Oh, so there you go. So this is part of the reason why we hand out Bibles every year. Because sometimes we wonder, and the Bible has answers. Sometimes we worry, and the Bible has answers. Sometimes we're scared, and the Bible can bring us peace. Sometimes we have questions, and the Bible has answers for us. Just like I wondered about this chair, but I needed rest, so I just had to have trust that the chair would sit me. The Bible gives you information and words, and God's in there, and you can trust what you read to be true. And so that's why as everyone gets older, we make sure everyone gets a Bible so that they can read it and know for themselves when they need it. They can go right into the Bible and find what they need, whether it's peace or joy or comfort. They can go right into their own Bible and get that from God. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you for gifting us the Bible. Thank you for gifting us a way to be and read about you and have you with us no matter what our circumstances or where we are. I ask that you grow each of us in your Holy Spirit, and may we become more and more like you every day. This I pray in your holy name. Amen.
Good morning, church family. Good morning to those of you who are viewing online this morning. God bless you as you worship the Lord in your homes. If you want to register your attendance with us at this time, you can do that through our app. And if you don't have our app downloaded, it will really help you stay connected to our fellowship and help you to know what's going on. You can do an app search for Wiley Methodist Abilene, and you'll get a hit on that. Excuse me, several things coming up on October the 6th at 6:30 p.m. We're having an all-church encounter night. We're just going to come seek the Lord for an hour and a half or 2 hours or three or four, whatever it takes. And we don't really want to put a time limit on that because we don't want to put a time limit on what God might want to do. So that's October the 6th. Fields of Faith, the annual youth event, is the 21st at Shotwell Stadium. And then our instead of Fall Festival this year, as you know, we're doing a trunk or treat. I've never been to a trunk or treat. This will be my first one. That's taking place on the 31st from 4 to 6. We need lots of candy and need volunteers to decorate their vehicles and use their vehicles to distribute candy. So you can contact Carlene about that. So let's stand and affirm our faith together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Remind you that word in Catholic in that creed means universal. Kit and Arthur is going to come up and share some things about Operation Christmas Child shoebox stuff. So.
These kids behind me are so excited because they've just received their boxes.
Have you ever thought what comes after the box? At Samaritan's Purse, we've got an incredible program after Operation Christmas Child. It's called The Greatest Journey. The purpose of Samaritan's Purse is evangelism. We just don't want to just hand out a box. Children that put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we want them to grow in their faith. We want to disciple them and raise up an army of young kids who can take their faith and share it with another child so that that person will put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. This is what it's all about, evangelism, taking the gospel to another generation.
You shall love the Lord your God to know that you're passing on what you've learned to another person, not just keeping the knowledge for yourself. You feel love. You feel like, you know what, I'm at home. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do right now.
We always work through the local church. And when it's all said and done and the training's finished, these kids are going to be part of the church, going out into their communities, sharing their faith in Jesus Christ. The Greatest Journey is a great opportunity to impact the life of a child, teaching children how to share their faith with their friends and family around the world, raising up an army of evangelists who can take the gospel to the next generation.
I love those videos. They always make me cry. There are a million of videos on the Operation Christmas Child website, so if you want to just binge watch something positive, go there. It's just there, just time after time. We could spend all the time in that. Just a reminder that Wiley does our Christmas shoebox push early in September. It actually goes through November, as most of you know. But next Sunday, we'd love to have our part done. So three ways you can participate. One, you can just build a shoebox and leave it out there with the others that we have from last year. Or you can donate just generically to the church, and that money will go to provide for shoeboxes and for transportation. It's on the app, so when you do your giving, just scroll down and hit Operation Christmas Child. Or the newest way is from Samaritan's Purse, and it's to build a shoebox online. You can also access that through our app. Some of you may have already just gone through the regular OCC website, but if you'll go to the app, then Wiley gets credit or whatever. Our goal is 100 shoeboxes online. We have 6 right now. It's super easy. You get to choose the age of your child, whether a boy or a girl, who you want to build for. You get to choose the little toys and the big surprises that go into the shoebox. You can also donate $6 in addition to the $25. It costs $25 to do a box online. You can donate $6 extra to provide the Greatest Journey, and that's the 12-week program after the shoebox that brings the message of salvation to these kids. The most important part as far as I'm concerned. So encourage you to either build one online or to just build one and bring it up next week. One more thing I want to point out is for all you parents, gosh, we had so many kids, it's great to see them. There is a Greatest Journey app that you can download for free, and it takes them through the 12 things in the Bible that all point to Jesus. So it's a neat little app. It's free of charge, so you might want to download that, but not during church. Today as we pray, I was thinking about Mark and planting the seed that we talked about last week or 2 weeks ago. And so today I'm going to go to Isaiah 55, verses 10 and 11. God says, as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve for the purpose for which I sent it. That's our mission, church. So let's pray today. Heavenly Father, we praise you today for being the creator of all things, all people, all nations. Forgive us when we do not love you with our whole heart and soul and mind and strength each day. I thank you for this church body and ask that you bless the mission of the Christmas shoeboxes.
that they can bring delight to each child that they touch, but more importantly, that they plant the seed to show them the way to salvation through your Son, Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. As we worship today, please remember that the offering plates are up front that you can donate.
Amen. Hey, Ben, would you put the chorus of that song up, just the chorus for right now? When you can. The one we're going to do next. I can't remember the name of it. Greater. The chorus. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So, because I hear a voice and he calls me redeemed. When others say I'll never be enough. And greater is he that is inside of me than he who is in the world. Man, that's straight out of scripture, isn't it? I want to tell you something. It's not to brag about myself, just to talk about how God works. I had a young man contact me because he had an assessment to go to Kingsville to get assessed to climb a pole or not. If you want a job with AEP, well, you got to show them you can climb a pole. They give you no training. They just go, here's your climbing belt. Go up and down that pole about 10 times. And if you cut out, you know, if your hook comes out of the pole, well, then, you know, you fail. If you do that three times or more, you're out. And so he came to get some pointers from me. And so I give him my belt, and I'm not thinking about the Holy Spirit, God, or anything. I'm thinking, well, I'm going to show this kid what I know. He's like 20 years old. And so, you know, I get him schooled up. It all goes well. And I'm going to send him on his way. And then God says, you need to pray for him. And in that instant, I just thought, you know, God's got something to say about this kid's life. God's interested in this kid's life. God wants him to get this job, obviously, or he wouldn't have said, hey, pray for him. And so I asked him if I could, and we did. We prayed right there. And then I found out last Thursday, he went to Kingsville, passed in flying colors, and got his interview. That wasn't me. It was God. God was interested in his life. I don't know. I just bless my heart that there's going to be times when you're with somebody, and it's happened to every one of you, I bet, and God said, pray for him. He's got something to say. God is good, isn't he? God is so good. Well, let's sing, and I challenge you to sing every word of this song. It's not easy, but we're going to give it our best shot. Amen. Got it, Ben?
Bring your tithe, bring your shame, bring your guilt, bring your pain. Don't you know it's not your name? You will always keep what's more than me. And every day I wrestle with the voices that keep telling me that I'm not right. But that's all right. Living in the world.
it's over, isn't it?
Well, good morning again. Was that like awesome to see all those kids up here? Woo! Love it. Love it. Love those kids. Especially when I got here, there was like four. It's great to see all of them. If you are at home, we are especially glad that you're with us this morning. If you're our guest this morning, we're especially glad that you're here with us, whether it be online or whether it be here with us. If, as Billy mentioned earlier, you can register on our app. If you are our guest, we'd love for you to register. There is a guest registration on the app. We would we normally, in the past, we've had physical registration slips, but we're not doing that for now. So we'd love to know who you were, who you are, and that you were here. At the end of the service, I'll be out in the foyer and would love to meet you and have a free gift for our guests. So turn with me to Psalm 51. Psalm 51. I want to set this psalm up. David, King David, same David that slayed Goliath that became king of Israel. You probably know the story, but, you know, it's interesting. David had everything. He had everything. He had rule of the kingdom. I mean, he had lots of wives. He had lots of money. He had the adoration of the people. And yet he's standing on the roof of the palace, and he's looking across the way, and he sees a young lady named Bathsheba. And he ends up, long story short, he ends up committing adultery with Bathsheba. And it didn't turn out good for David. But Psalm 51, he has been confronted by the prophet Nathan after he had committed adultery with Bathsheba, and he has finds himself in this place where his sins are discovered, and he finds himself in a place of repentance. Psalm 51, verse 1, the words of David. He says, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are proved right when you speak and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Surely you desire truth in the inner parts. You teach me wisdom in the inmost place. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me." Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit. We want to hear from you. We invite you to speak. Speak now in power and authority. And that's the only way you speak, Holy Spirit, but we invite you to do that. We invite you now and transform our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Ran across this story. Max Lucado tells this story. I want to read it to you. Chippy the parakeet never saw it coming as he was peacefully perched in his cage. The problems began when Chippy's owner decided to clean his cage with a vacuum cleaner. You can see it coming. She removed the attachment from the end of the hose and stuck it in the cage. The phone rang. She turned to pick it up. She had barely said hello when That's my best sucking sound that I can make. I'm sorry. It's a little messy, though. Chippy got sucked in. Poor all you parakeet lovers are grieving here. The bird owner gasped, put down the phone, turned off the vacuum, and opened the bag. There was Chippy, still alive but stunned. Since the bird was covered with dust and soot, she grabbed him and raced to the bathroom, turned on the faucet, and held Chippy under the running water. Then, realizing that Chippy was soaked and shivering, she did what any compassionate bird owner would do. She reached for the hairdryer and blasted the pet with hot air. Poor Chippy never knew what hit him. A few days after the trauma, the reporter who had initially written about the event contacted Chippy's owner to see how the bird was recovering. "Well," she replied, "Chippy doesn't sing much anymore. He just sits and stares." Go ahead and show that next slide there. Chippy's missing a few feathers. Oh, my. Today's sermon is the second one in the series, Joyful. Joyful. Today's message is Restored Joy. I want to ask you, you ever feel like Chippy? Have you felt like Chippy in 2020? Hey, just sitting there minding his own business on the perch. And the sky begins to fall. The walls begin to cave in on him. Well, as we continue this series on joy, you know, the world, it has a tendency to suck the joy out of us, doesn't it? Well, the first point I want us to look at today as we unpack this scripture a little bit and we talk more about joy. True joy has a source. True joy has a source. We talked about last week, if you missed the first sermon in this series, I want you to maybe go back and watch that. True joy has a source, and his name is Jesus. And I talked about this last week, but happiness is different than true joy. Happiness is tied to circumstances. We're happy because everything's going well. Everybody's happy. Everybody loves me. I got plenty of money. I'm well. All of my circumstances are in perfect order, and I'm happy about that. Joy, on the other hand, joy can be in the midst of unbearable circumstances. Did you know that? Joy comes from something deeper. Joy comes from an everlasting source, and his name is Jesus. The passage I looked at last week, just a piece of that, came from kind of from our Christmas story in Luke chapter 2. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy." What is that good news of great joy? Jesus. He's come. He's been born. And not only has he been born, and not only is he for all people, but this good news of great joy is also your Savior. He's Christ the Lord. True joy, church, has a source. It's not us. It's not the world. Galatians 5, some things, I think some scriptures we just need to commit to memory. I think the fruit of the Spirit is one of those. Galatians 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. Love and joy. It was very right up at the very front. Love and joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So there's this source of joy that is the Spirit of God, God Himself. Two weeks ago, when Brother Marv brought the word. Where's Marv at? Thank you, brother. That was a fine word you brought to us. He preached out of Hebrews 12, the first three verses. And I told him that when I first became pastor, we had just gone through a split 18 years ago. We'd gone through a split with our church, and there was a lot of hurt and woundedness from that. And I felt like the Lord gave me those first three verses of chapter 12 of Hebrews for a few years, the first few years, they were kind of what I felt like the Lord was telling us to do. And that's throw off the sin that so easily entangles us and fix our eyes on Jesus. And for today's message, it goes on to say that Jesus, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. So there's something joyful in Jesus' heart and his mind that it caused him to go to the cross. It caused him to endure the cross. What was that joy? You and I. You and I were that joy. So there's this source of joy that Jesus had joy in his heart because he knew that the cross that he would endure would restore us to right relationship with the Father. True joy, church, has a source. His name is Jesus. Now, secondly, we're doing good. Everybody likes all of that so far. Second point, sin steals joy. Sin steals our joy. I see it all the time. People will come to me and sometimes they're struggling because life is just, man, it's just hard. You know, put someone sick or whatever. But a lot of times the struggle is because it's self-induced. What we do to ourselves. Listen to this in Psalm 51 that we just read, verse 3 and 11. For I know, David says, I know my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. David, he understands that this sin that he has committed has cast him away from God himself. He's taken his Holy Spirit from him. So this is, and notice that God calls David a man after his own heart. And he set him aside. He anointed him as king of Israel. And this man after God's own heart, from the very words of God about him, sin has separated him from the Father. Sin steals our joy. Now there's other things that can steal our joy, but I'm just telling you, sin is right up there at the top of the list. Scripture tells us our enemy, the devil, it entices us into sin. And we may not audibly hear this, but I promise you this dialogue, when we're considering something that we know is sinful in our lives, this dialogue is taking place in our head. You remember the old cartoons? You know, you had the angel on a shoulder and the devil on a shoulder. That's not really all that far off. The cartoons almost got it right because there's this dialogue going in our head and it says something like this. Nobody will ever know. Nobody will ever know. It won't be that bad. You'll like that. It'll be good. It'll be fun. Perhaps I'll be happier if I make this decision. The devil entices us into sin, and then guess what? After he's entices us, come on, Jeff, it'll be okay. You'll be happy. It'll be great. And as soon as you act, guess what happens? He shames you. Then that voice shifts and it says, Hatcher, I can't believe you did that. You call yourself a Christian. You call yourself a good person. Look at what you've done. The devil entices us into sin, and then he shames us, and he steals our joy. I've never known anybody that is actively in a lifestyle of sin that was truly joyful. I've never met them. Maybe you have. The enemy can disguise it as like, hey, I'm the party. It's party time. Hey. But I promise you, at some point, the party stops. It's the way sin works. Sin steals our joy. Scripture, it's all throughout Scripture. Jesus said, these are the words of Christ, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He entices us, but guess what his ultimate goal, his ultimate purpose is? To destroy you. He wants to take out marriages. He wants to Who was it? I'm trying to remember. My mind is flashing to this. Okay. It just came back to me. There's a man, I won't name him, had a great career that he had done a lot of education for this career. I just found out about it in the last 2 or 3 weeks. And he loved his career, and he got into drug abuse. Guess what happened to that career? It's gone. Because he got caught. It's gone. Now he's scrounging to make a living. The enemy seduces us. He entices us. And then he shames us. And then he destroys us. He robs us of our joy. The thief, Jesus said, I'm not saying this, is the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's his purpose in life. And it also says that lying is his native tongue. He does it. He's deceptive. There's a reason he's called the deceiver. In 1 Peter it says, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Sin steals our joy. And in many cases, can really damage our life. So joy has a source, but we have an enemy who's trying to steal that from us. So how do we deal with all that? Which leads me to my third point. Repentance and trust in Christ restores joy. We don't, as a culture, we don't like that word repent. I mean, man, our culture, if it feels good, do it. Your truth is your truth and my truth is mine. If I feel like doing this, and we're governed by feelings in our culture, and to even suggest that someone would repent, then you're labeled a judgmental and a hater and so on and so forth. It's like, man, look at what happened to David. David says, wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Create in me a pure heart, O God. There's a repentance there. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. And here it is. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Man, us as the redeemed people, the redeemed people of God, man, we should be a joyful people. Especially when we're focused on this God who loves us. The rest of those passages from Christ in John 10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come that you may have life. So you have this enemy that wants to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to rob you of your joy. And you have this Savior who wants to give you abundant life, life to the full. I don't know about you, but I like this one better. I've tried both. I like the abundant life in Christ. Be self-controlled, Peter says, and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. And here's what Peter says to do about it. Resist him. Stand firm in the faith. Resist the devil and he will flee. You want joy in your life? Resist the devil. Focus on Christ, on his goodness. And if you find yourself in the midst of some sort of sin in your life, this is not a message of condemnation. This is a message of hope. I mean, I'm thinking, David was a knucklehead. It's okay if I've been a knucklehead some too. David was a man after God's own heart. It's like, do you think God expects us to always have our act together? But the saving grace for David was, he said, restore to me this joy that my sin has robbed me of. Restore to me the joy of my salvation. If you find yourself in some sort of sin in your life, man, repent. ask the Lord to restore you, to create in you a pure heart. Isaiah, and this is the passage out of Isaiah 61. It's the passage that Jesus quoted as he was launching his ministry. And I'm taking pieces of it. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, Jesus said. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to comfort all who mourn, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. Man, God, I don't know why we do it, but we do it. God wants to pour out blessings on you. The enemy wants to destroy you. Why do we listen to that guy? We do, but why? God wants to bless you. He wants to pour out abundant blessing on you. A garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. He wants to bind up the brokenhearted, comfort those who mourn. And I'm telling you, having tasted both, walking with Jesus is a lot better path. Friends, Jesus is the source of true joy. Our sin steals our joy, but Jesus is the restorer of joy. I want to ask you to just bow your heads with me. Father, we're humbled that you would even be mindful of us. We are broken vessels. We confess that our sin is always before us, as David did. But we know that you are the restorer of joy. You are the comforter. You're the Prince of Peace. And you give us the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, of love and joy and all of the others. God, we ask you to multiply yourself in us, to wash away all of our iniquity and to cleanse us from sin and to give us joy. Pray it in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. I invite you to stand. Don't forget, we will be baptizing Randy. Go ahead, Randy, if you want to go change. We'll be baptizing Randy in just a few moments. If you don't know that Jesus that I'm talking about, please come and see me. Don't leave this day, because he knows you and he wants you to be a joyful person as we close.
The splendor of the King, clothed in majesty. Let all the earth rejoice. Let all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself. That is the land.
seated while we wait for the children to come on in. Stephen and Sheila, you guys come on up. Anybody else, if you got with you, come on up. Okay. Randy, you have professed your faith in Jesus Christ, repented of your sins, and so I ask you now, do you want to be baptized in that faith?
Yes.
Amen. If you will sit right there and hold your nose. Randy, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Stay right there. Amen. Amen. If y'all can scrunch in here and put a hand on the shoulder, one of the things, Randy, we talked about was that God says He will come and live inside of you. He will send His Spirit and live inside of you. So I'm going to pray for you. Lord, I thank You so much that You hung on a cross and You had Randy on Your mind, Father, because Your love was so great. The joy set before You as You endured the cross was Randy. Lord, I thank You that she has said yes to You. Father, may she be a new creation. I pray that You would fill her with Your Spirit, that this would be a new day. Lord, that she would be a child of the King, and she would be effective in Your kingdom. Lord, just bless her and her family. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Go, church, and be joyful, and go and tell someone. We're dismissed.
How great.
This is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wylie United Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. I want to remind you that you have a Savior. His name is Jesus, and He loves you. I also would like to, if you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want to invite you to pray this simple prayer with me. Father, I recognize that I'm a sinner. I confess it. I repent of my sin, and I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior. I ask you to wash me as white as snow. In the name of Jesus, amen. If you prayed that prayer maybe for the first time today, I want to invite you to do four things. First of all, to share that decision you've made with a member of the clergy. Don't try to walk this journey alone. And then secondly, I invite you to be baptized. Jesus Himself commanded us that we should celebrate our faith through baptism. And then I invite you to get into God's Word. The book of John is a great place to start. And not because somehow reading the Bible makes us a good person, but because there's life in God's Word. It's His inspired, holy Word. And then finally, I invite you to find a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church to be a part of. If you have any questions at all, I just want you to know that I'm available. You can contact me at my email, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.